Hello, my name is Melody McClendon. I want to thank the audience for tuning in this evening on BBS Radio. I'm so excited to be here. I am the host for True Confessions Radio Show. Tonight's topic will be about generational curses. I have a guest here who's a pastor. His name is Clifford Reynolds, and he is now going to explain the definition of a generational curse in biblical terms. Cliff, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Melody.
How are you?
Very good. I'm fine, thank you. It's very exciting that you have your new radio show, and I thank you for inviting me to be on with you.
Thank you. I appreciate you for coming. Now, do you think you can enlighten the audience on the definition of a generational curse?
So a generational curse is something that is passed from one generation to another. It is sometimes a curse put on by getting involved in something demonic like witchcraft, voodoo. Sometimes generational curses come from sinning and are put on by God. And sometimes generational curses are things like always, you know, the father is angry and the and is always angry and shouting, and the son has the same thing, and the grandfather has the same thing. So that it can come in different forms. Sometimes it's alcohol abuse, the grandfather, then it goes to the father, then it goes to the kid. So generational curses are put on, again, by the by us sinning, by us going outside the bounds of God. And in the Bible, some things are spelled out where you're not supposed to do this or that, and it'll be cursed on future generations. And other times, it's when we get involved in something demonic that holds on to us, and it passes on to our children and our grandchildren.
Now, Cliff, when you say demonic, are you speaking in witchcraft or devil worshiping, voodoo? Or could it be a sense, like you said, sin? Maybe you're allowing the devil in from doing his work, living or shying away from the Bible or how God tells you to live?
Yes, it can be either of those cases. You know, when normally, if somebody is a Christian, they may be very strong as a Christian. A lot of times, their children are Christian, but they're weak as a Christian, and then the grandchildren turn away. If you don't train your children right and keep it going, but the if your parents were a Christian and you know the gospel, but you turn away, your children are going to most likely, you know, are going to be brought up away from God. And then they'll bring up their children away from God. So, yes, it could be going outside the path of God, or it could be demonic where it's witchcraft, voodoo, devil worship, doing things that, you know, psychic readings. Anything that's, you know, that is coming from the devil, and it can be little subtle things, but all of those, if we accept those into our lives and we take it on, then we can pass those on to our kids. And it could be, as you experienced, demons,
yeah,
where,
oh, yeah,
your father had it, and And then you've experienced it.
And I'm going to enlighten the audience on what he's speaking about. Cliff is actually the pastor who saved my life. When first realized what has been haunting me and my children, when I first had my spiritual awakening, after I got them on tape, sorry, it's a difficult experience for me to explain. Everyone turned me away. I had the archdiocese turn me away. Me and my children was an emotional wreck, and I ran in the cliff, and he sat down with me and my family. I even had an aunt who came up from an hour away from where I lived, and we sat at the table in the restaurant, and he took the time with his head pastor, and they spoke, and he asked Cliff to look at the pictures to first examine them to see if these were actually demons that I have encountered. And once Cliff seen it and he said, oh yes, and he told the pastor, he sat down and he showed me how to repent. You know, and before I met Cliff, I didn't know what repentance was. I didn't know truly what it meant, truly the steps of it. And he took the time and he showed me. And that's when I gave myself to the Lord completely, not just believing in him, but walking the way he wants you to, listening to God's commandments, living it. And I dedicated my life to volunteering, you know, for the less fortunate, going to church, starting this radio show so I can get other spiritual awakenings along with mine out, other people's problems, horrific experiences to the world, so people can understand a little bit of how we can let these things in our life by living the lifestyle of the devil. And a lot of people aren't aware how the devil works. A lot of people don't understand how manipulative the evildoers are. They don't understand that. So they basically live it and be exposed to their doing, like me and my family, you know, experience. But I have another guest that is appearing on the show, and her name is Lynn Clausen. Now, Lynn, she has experienced similar things that most people have, some generational curses. So I'm going to introduce her and let you guys hear a little bit about her parents' history, her history, her children's history. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Great.
I'm so happy for you to be here tonight.
I'm really happy to be here to help you.
Okay, do you think you can enlighten the audience on some of your experiences? How about your grandparents?
Well, mind you, I'm 47 years old right now, and so
I can now look back on this now that I am with God and be able to pinpoint certain scenarios, certain aspects of everything that happened throughout my life. My grandparents were Christian, but they weren't practicing Christian. They were just, you know, run-of-the-mill farmers. And my mom, she became an alcoholic, a drug addict, and I became a drug addict, and my son became a drug addict. So it's like I did my best as a mother to give my son the best fighting chance that he had, but because of the poor choices of men that I chose to be in our lives, it made it impossible. I was very traumatized as a child with the things that used to occur in my house. I was in and out of foster homes 4 or 5 times as an adolescent. I actually lived in 80 cities before the age of 16.
Oh, wow.
Because my mom had a habit of moving every 3 months, 6 months. You know, we just move. And there was no stability. And I constantly felt like I was alone, but surrounded by chaos.
Now, do you think you can tell the audience, be a little bit more specific on some of the incidents you can remember experiencing as a child living with your mother?
Well, my mom also made poor choices with men, and there was 3 fathers between us 5 kids that I was, you know, all of us 5 kids. And my youngest sister's father ended up being diagnosed schizophrenic. But before he was diagnosed, we went through a lot of crazy, chaotic things. Like when I was 5, my little sister was just born, and he decided that somebody was coming to kill him. And they were all lined up against the block wall in the backyard. And so he started shooting his gun at the back wall. And all the neighbors were just fed up with all the little things that he was doing that was, you know, could cause harm to them and everything.
I'm sorry for stopping you, but are you saying he shot?
Things that he was seeing, or so he thought he was seeing, that were not there, he was shooting at them. In our backyard. So there could be stray bullets going over the fence, through the fence, into other people's houses. And the neighbors they basically threw rocks at our house, broke all our windows, and told us we had to leave town, or they were going to, you know, make sure we'd leave town in a body bag.
Oh, wow. So you're telling, you witnessed this as a child?
Yes, but very vividly in my memory.
Cliff, do you have any insight on what she just said?
Well, you know, as she said, her mother had many, you know, babies, fathers, and with the last one being schizophrenic, I'm sure, you know, that must have been a very hard childhood for you. Growing up without God is hard enough, but when you mix in the drugs and the mental illness, it is something that greatly impacts the children. And, you know, people can call it what they like, but it becomes a curse on the children because that's going to affect their whole life. That your childhood is your foundation. And it affects people differently, but it does, it keeps you away from God because that's all that you know.
I agree, exactly. That's all I did know. And it was very difficult when I became pregnant and gave birth to my son. It changed my life. And then I got pregnant about 15 years after that and gave birth to another little boy that I did end up giving up for adoption because I just felt this little boy needed a fighting chance and I wasn't able to give it to him.
So,
and that's when I found God.
So what happened in between
before that time? Because you said a lot of drug use, criminal activity. Okay. I was trying my best because I was raising my son all by myself. I left his father, who was addicted to crack cocaine, and I left him and started doing it all by myself. And in a city that I had no family in, because I moved out to Arizona away from my family in California, and I had nobody out there. And I made it for 14 years out there, just me and my son. And wow. So, but there was a lot of drug abuse. There was a lot of, you know, I helped job after job after job, and I thought I was doing my best, but now that I look back on it, I could have done a lot better. And I think that's when I realized, when I got pregnant for the second time and gave my son up for adoption, that I was going to give this child a fighting chance, because God showed me how to do that.
And how did he do that?
Long story short, he guided me every step of the way to a beautiful, wonderful adoption agency in Utah. And just sign after sign right in front of my face that you could not ignore if you were blind.
What can you tell me about these signs?
Things like newspapers at my motel door, and I'm the only one that gets one, and the first thing that I see when I open it up is adoption agency, you know, and it had this phone number. So I go, oh, okay, called it, and they had a plane ticket for me that hour. Because I gave them, you know, I told them my story, and I told them I was homeless. I was 5 months pregnant, and I had nowhere else to go. I was planning on turning myself in because I had a warrant for a stupid petty theft. And I just followed his hand. He took me by the hand, and he led me all the way and led me all the way through it. And I gave my son for adoption with my son's father. He was also there at the time. And we gave it to a beautiful couple. He's thriving. He's wonderful. He doesn't have any more curses on him.
He won't
experience the curses that I experienced, my siblings experienced, my son experienced. And on down the line. And I think I broke it at that point, and hopefully he will take it and run.
Well, Cliff, what do you, you know, when she said that, how, when, I truly, you know, I want to ask you one more question before I ask Cliff this. I want to know, did you pray for him?
Yes, I did. I was at my wit's end, and I was in the motel room, and I prayed to God before I went to sleep. I really, just in my soul, in my heart, and there was a Bible in the drawer in the hotel room, and I grabbed it, and I started reading it, and I just said, God, if I'm supposed to go to jail and have this baby in jail and have it taken and put into the system, let this be known. But if it's not supposed to be that way, show me which way it's supposed to be. And it was sign after sign that he showed me. And I couldn't ignore it. There was nothing I could do.
Oh, God is magnificent.
Oh, more than ever.
So you were able to quit drugs.
Oh, yeah. Quit drugs, started going to church, gave it to a beautiful Mormon family, and they're really wonderful people, and he's doing great.
So you still have contact with?
Yeah, there was an open adoption. He'll be 7 in May, and we Facebook each other, and we send pictures and letters and stuff like that. He came down a few years back when it was his birthday, and they were taking him to Disneyland, and they were coming through this way where we live, and they stopped by, and we visited for a few hours, and it was great, and it was great to see that my selflessness was actually rewarded with this child.
Oh, that's real beautiful. Okay, Lynn, so you know what I want to touch back on, I want you to go back a little bit to your mother and your men. I can remember you were speaking about your stepfather who was schizophrenic. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to wonder what happened to him.
My mom finally got a hold of his parents, and they came down and took him to a hospital and held him for 72 hours to do an evaluation, mental evaluation and everything. Because after that episode, it continued to where he wouldn't sleep anymore. He was seeing more things. He was walking up and down the street, preaching about things that didn't make any sense.
Like what?
Like things, I mean, mind you, I was only 5 years old. So the things I remember him saying is stuff about the sun sent him down to look for Jesus because Jesus was lost. And he would just, it didn't make any sense. Everything that he would say, even the sentences that he would make, it wouldn't make any sense.
You know, after my experience, being in direct contact with these evil spirits, I like to call them the evildoers, these demons. I look at a lot of mental illness in a different way than I did before I experienced.
Right.
Thing. You know, the Bible speaks of Jesus casting out demons from people who others claim to be crazy. Mm-hmm. And when I see people like that, I often wonder, are they really bipolar? Are they really, you know, are they really schizophrenic? Or are they possessed?
They've been misdiagnosed because yes. Nobody knows.
And from a scientific, you know, science and biblical, they don't quite hit it off too well. You know, from a scientific sense,
two different point of view.
I mean, they say we evolved, so we evolved. You know, some scientists believe we evolved, and they believe in evolution. They believe in we came from apes. We, you know, they have so many different theories. And, yeah, I really don't like getting into that too much because I am a Christian woman. And I don't believe to say we came from apes is like saying there was no Adam and Eve. So I don't really like speaking too much on the scientific part, but I mean, some of it is interesting. I mean, what they say, but in the same token, when it comes to the Bible and science, it just doesn't mix. So it goes back to when I first caught these demons on video. I went to the hospital. I mean, I'm sure I did look crazy, though. You know, I felt like I was out of my mind. I didn't know if I was seeing this or wasn't until other people saw the same thing. I wasn't quite sure, you know. And when I went to the hospital, the doctors, they didn't even look at the videotape. They automatically called CPS. CPS had to come out and the sheriff, and then once they saw it, then they're like, whoa. Like, did you see this? So the part where you say about your stepfather, it just makes me wonder.
Yeah, he stayed in the mental hospital for about 30 years until he finally ended his life by taking too many of his pills and medication. And he was just tired of being medicated and not, you know, being left in that hospital. He was there for 30 years. He didn't leave.
And it's real sad because in order for him to do that, that means he was probably hiding the meds.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. they thought he was taking them, and he's just putting it under
his tongue. He had some kind of sense.
yeah.
Whether it was good or bad, he did have some sense, you know, he could function. But the one thing I wanted to say was, once I found God and I believe I broke this generational curse, the one thing that I felt most was I wasn't feeling abandoned and I wasn't feeling alone anymore. Even if I was sitting physically by myself, I still didn't feel alone once I had God.
You know, and I will agree with you because I have my own spiritual life. So I know how that feels. I used to always feel that hole in my heart. It was something missing. And I believed that it was my mother's death when my mother died when I was 10 years old. That's what I thought it was. You know, I was missing my mother. I
thought it was something that was on it, not missing from it.
Exactly. But then once I found God,
it was filled.
That hole was filled.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned nothing and no one can fill a hole in your heart but me.
That's right.
Now, Cliff, speaking on possible demonic possessions, like, you know what I just spoke to her about with her stepfather, you know, ever since this happened to me, I look at mental illness differently when I read the Bible. You know, sometimes, especially when some of them are so far away from God, you know, where they seem to lost their way completely when it comes to God. Do you think that can possibly come from a generational curse as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the a mental illness and different illnesses are hereditary, which is generational. And the not all illnesses are, you know, are curses. We live in, well, it's, in general, it's a curse because we live in a fallen world. And that's the reason why we have illness and stuff like that. But as you said, in the Bible, Jesus, at different times with different people who had illness, regular illnesses or mental illness, was able to cast out demons that were inside them causing those illnesses. So, yes, in this, you know, in our life, it's still going to be the same thing. Some people do have illnesses caused by demons, and other people have illnesses caused by, you know, we live in a fallen world, and we get colds, we get sick, we get diseases that kill us. But in all things, God is powerful. And in life, we need to... The biggest thing is coming to Jesus Christ. As her stepfather said, he was looking for Jesus. Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at the when Jesus went and cast out the legion of demons out of the man who was in the tombs naked and had legions, which means tens of thousands of demons in him, he came over to Jesus. And Jesus cast them out. And so somehow inside people, they know because God has written it in our hearts. But people know that they need to come to Jesus to get rid of these things that are in their life. Now, some people know it's clear and some people don't. But the important thing of all of it is to break any generational curse, you need to come to the foot of Jesus. You need to repent of your sins and and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's the only way you can start breaking free. But that's what that's what everybody has to do. With any demonic thing, any generational curse, anything that's attacking us, we only can be saved if we come to Christ. So many people who leave drugs go back on it time and time again. And until they come to a saving faith in Christ. Some people are able to get off it without that. And they're lucky. They're strong. But many people, you need to come to a saving faith in Christ. You need to go back and repent of your sins, all of your past sins. And it's not easy. You got to pray to God to have them come to your mind. And you got to determine that you're going to turn away from that sin. Repent means turn away. Do a 180-degree turn and go back towards God's path. And so that's what we need to do. And then we also need to forgive people who hurt us. And that's a hard thing to do. So we come to Jesus and we ask him for help in doing that. We put forward to him that this person hurt me this way. And Lord, I want to forgive him. It's very hard. Lord, please help me to forgive. And so we have to take time. It's not, just something quick. You need to pray about it. Prayer is very important. But the first thing, before you can repent about all your different sins and forgive others, you need to come to that saving faith and knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. You have to accept that you're a sinner and know that the wages of sin is death, and know that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. All we have to do is accept Jesus and our sins will be forgiven. Once we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity of God, three persons in one being, in one God, and the Holy Spirit comes to live in us and help us and guide us and comfort us. And at the same time, we have to turn away from our sins, and it's not easy. We love our own sins. And so we need to pray and ask God to bring those sins to our mind, to ourselves, so we can break free from those. And some things that we've been addicted to, drugs, alcohol, pornography, it's hard to stop. And it takes giving that over to God and getting away from it. It's easy to stop drinking but then when we drive home, we go by the same pub we used to always drink at. It's so much temptation that it's going to cause us to stop. So we should drive home a different way. If our drug dealer is down that street, don't go down that street, even if it takes driving 2 extra miles. It takes that commitment. And it takes the power of God to break free of these generational curses, to break free from the demons, the spells, the alcohol, and all of that. As you know, Melody, you've experienced that. We just want to thank you. This was Melody's debut show at True Confessions, and we look forward to having you next week, every Saturday from 4 to 5. Just going to give a closing prayer to bless you all. Lord Jesus, we just truly thank you, Lord, for everyone who's listening, everybody who's on the radio right now, and just come down and, Lord, if they need you, if they need to be saved, bring them to you, Lord. save them right now in your holy name. Come to them in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Cliff, I want to thank you for being here tonight. I also want to thank Lynn.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys don't know how much this meant to me. But thank you to the audience. I hope I will see you again next week. Next week's topic will be about a woman who has been molested, actually, from her own father for years. So I'm hoping you guys will tune in next week at True Confessions Radio. And thank you, and goodbye.